You're listening to Kol Dodi Messianic Congregation's weekly podcast. Our services are every Saturday morning at 11 a.m. For more information, like us on Facebook or visit our website at koldodi.org.
Shabbat, we have a double parshot, Achrimot and Kiddushim. So that covers Leviticus 16 through 20, and we're going to hit a few verses in there today. Father, we pray you open our eyes to behold wonderful things from your word. We pray you speak to us now, and we pray, Lord, that again, you would use your word to shape us and mold us, Lord. Shem Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. Groucho Marx and his daughter were together on a very hot summer day. Anyone watch the Marx Brothers movies when you're, or anyone old enough like me? They were my favorite. I'm pretty sure I've seen all of them. Anyway, they wanted to go swimming in the pool at the swim club, and the man at the entrance stopped them, and he said, "Sorry, no Jews are allowed here." And Groucho said, "My daughter is half Jewish. Can she go in up to her waist?" As Jews, we are different, always have been as a people, wherever we've been. And as believers, as followers of Yeshua, of the Jewish Messiah, Jews and Gentiles, as a follower of Yeshua, you are different. We are different. Rabbi Jonathan Sacks mentioned that after the destruction of the Second Temple in the year 70, Jews were scattered throughout the world wherever they were. They were a minority. And he said the only way Jews survived was because they never lost three things: their sense of family, their sense of community, family together, a community, and their faith, of course, their faith. And these values, he said, were renewed every week on Shabbat. So let's look at Leviticus 18, verses 3 and 4, if you would. And the Lord tells us, as the Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the children of Israel, say to them, I am the Lord your God." I believe that's like 25 times the Lord repeats, "I am the Lord your God." You, in these few chapters, "You are not to act as they do in the land of Egypt, where you used to live, nor are you to act as they do in the land of Canaan, where I'm bringing you, nor are you to walk in their customs. You are to obey my ordinances and keep my statutes and walk in them. I am Adonai your God, Hashem your God. So you are to keep my statutes and my ordinances. The one who does them will live by them, have life by them." So not as they do. We are not to practice the culture in the culture, or participate rather in the culture of our previous or our future home on earth, like Egypt or like Canaan. Surrounded by bad influences, the Egyptians, the Canaanites, they were the most decadent people living in, and the Jews often have lived even in dispersion, in the worst of neighborhoods. We are to be a light to the nations. Our practices and our traditions are different. In the Hebrew, it's kima'asa and uch ma'asa. Like, and this word asa is to create or to make, not to create like they do. It's mentioned four times. Let's say the word asa. It's the one in blue there. Asa. It's so think about it two times. Lo ta'asu. Let's say lo ta'asu. Not like they create, not like they make. We're going to get into a little particulars on this. But what am I creating? What am I creating? You know that you're a creator. You're made in the image of the creator. So you and I are creators, right? Some of us create music, art. Some of us create, literature, many things. We could say many things. But we are made in the image of God, who is the creator. He says, don't walk, and the Hebrew word halach is the root here. In there, chukah is the word for customs. Don't halach, progress. It means to progress step by step toward a goal. to progress step by step. So we are progressing with each step we take daily toward very different goals than the culture around us. The goal of personal gain and glory is one goal, or way of describing the culture's goal, or the goal, our goal, the gaining Messiah and bringing glory to him. Let me repeat that. Is our goal the goal of personal gain and glory, or is our goal gaining to gain Messiah and bring glory to him? Think about it. And the word customs, chakak, is the root of it, of chok is singular. It means to enact laws to protect a basic value. So think about it. We protect different values, don't we, than the cosmos, than the world, than the culture. Different values. Theirs are the values of greed, advancement, materialism. Doesn't mean materialism is, I mean, we need material things and God blesses us with material. That's fine. But the goal, the values are not in those things. I was just reading that in, I think, Psalm 39. He says, they store up, and it's all going to be gone. If I could turn it real quick. Psalm 39 the other day. It says, here it is. Everyone, 39:7, it might be 6. Everyone goes about as a mere phantom. Surely they are making an uproar in vain, heaping up stuff, yet not knowing who will gather it. And God says twice there, he says, all humanity is but a vapor, meaning it's not, lacks value, hevel. So the customs, we protect different values. Not greed, advancement, and materialism. Ours are self-sacrifice, integrity, honor, and eternity. We value eternity. Theirs are based, the culture, when I say theirs, I mean they could be the ours in our flesh too, so that's why we're contrasting. The world, the culture, the world, theirs are based on exaltation of self. Ours are based on exaltation of God, right? Theirs are without ultimate accountability. Ours on ultimate accountability to God. It's very different, right? If a man does them, in verse 5, it says, he'll live in them. Interesting. The Rashi, one of the rabbis, of course, great rabbis, who's quoted all the time, he says it means have eternal life. I was recently at a, they called it a celebration of life. I can't imagine people living without hope. I could not live without hope of eternal life and knowing that I'll see our son again, knowing that I'll see our parents, you know, see members of our family and others again and dear friends that have passed on that I miss. I don't know how people, but people can live without hope. And I mean, I say hope, I mean assurance, the assurance that there's a life beyond this, that it doesn't all end here, that this isn't the end. And but I was at what they called a celebration of life service last week for a former player of pickleball that I knew, and he died of cancer quite suddenly. It just got hit him quickly, and it was so sad because there was nothing about the Lord there. You know, at one point they had everyone recite the Lord's Prayer just because everyone, you know, kind of know it. You know, our Father who art in heaven, I guess it's called the Lord, some call it the Disciples' Prayer. But anyway, but they did that just to do something, includes a piece of, you know, a token piece of religion in it. But there was nothing about God, everything about what he valued, nothing about God. And it was so sad. And his achievements, his great demeanor. And I felt horrible. I wanted to say something. It was a situation where you could share some story. You know, people shared his golf stories and his other what. And I said, Lord, do you want me to share? But there was nothing I could share. And I said, you know what? I knew him. I never shared the gospel with him. I talked to him several times. I remember, and I said, Lord, I wish I had just, anyway, he had lots of, he's very wealthy, had lots of land and houses. And I said, Lord, I wish I had shared you with him. I'm sure I mentioned things, but I didn't share that he, and he never, as far as I know, he didn't know the Lord. How sad. Repeated and reason are given for these, for our values and whatnot. Here in verses, chapter 20, verses 23 and 24, he says, you're not to walk in the ways of the nation which I am casting out before you. I am the Lord your God, who has set you apart from the peoples. He set us apart from the peoples. He did this with Israel. He's done it with us as believers. Havdalti etchem min ha'amim. The word havdalah comes from this root, to separate, just the Sabbath from the work week, you know, when the havdalah service is done, if you do that or participate in one. That's this from this word. God says, I've set you apart. I've divided you. We are different, all right? Romans 6:4 says, therefore we're buried together with him through immersion into death, in order that just as Messiah was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. 1 Corinthians 6 says, that is what some of you were, and it mentions all sorts of sinful practices. But you were washed, you were made holy, you were set right in the name of the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah, and by the Ruach, the Spirit of our God. Or don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you're not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. So we belong to another. Think about it. You belong to another. We have a different focus, a different purpose, passion, and calling. We share different values and goals. We were once darkness, but now are we light in the Lord, Ephesians 5:8 says. Romans 12:2 says, don't be conformed to this world, meaning shaped like another, which is transitory, is what the Greek word means, but be transformed, changed completely in form by the renewing of your mind. We can't do it in ourselves. It happens through our minds being renewed through the scriptures, through the word of God, and through being around the right influences, the word of God and the right people. And he says, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. Ephesians 5, and I'll get into some things in a minute, but Ephesians 5, 1 through 8, says it like this. This is really, I think, a parallel passage in the New Covenant. Therefore, be imitators of God as dearly loved children. So we're dearly loved children. And walk in love. Walk in love as Messiah also loved us. He set the example. And he gives us the power through the Spirit inside of us. Walk in love as Messiah also loved us, gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a fragrant aroma. But sexual immorality and any impurity or greed, don't even let it be mentioned among you, as is proper for saints or holy ones. Kiddushim would be the Hebrew equivalent. Obscene, coarse, and stupid talk are also out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. Know for certain that no immoral, indecent, or greedy person, or is really an idol worshiper at heart, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Messiah. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's judgment comes on the children of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For once you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Walk as who you are. God has done this work in us already. We're different. We don't have to try to be. You already are, so just live as who you are, really. We belong to another, as I said earlier. Pleasure and prestige are what characterize all that the cosmos revolves around. Pleasure and prestige. 1 John 2:5, don't love the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father isn't in him. For all that is of the world, lust or desire of the flesh, desire of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world, the cosmos. And the world is passing away and the desire of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. So, what am I living for? Who am I living for? For what will pass away, the body and material things, or for what will live on forever, God the Father and his what he values? We are different. We're distinct. We have very different values, very different goals. So, for example, we don't live griping and complaining all the time. We choose to be grateful rather than to gripe and complain. We choose to be grateful and thankful. We don't have to retaliate and return evil for evil. I'll get them back. You say, oh, you know, and actually the Bible even says it's kind of, there's a pleasure in getting even with someone. There's, you know, it's, I think there's a sweet like honey, it says. But that's just initially, not later. But we don't retaliate, return evil for evil. We let God fight for us. We don't have to harbor grudges, but we forgive as God in Messiah forgave us. You don't want to need to develop an ulcer with a grudge. We don't slander and speak evil of others. We choose not to slander. Lashon hara. Don't have to speak the evil tongue. It all comes back on us, by the way, if we do. When I do, and I'll say, if I do. But we choose to speak well of others. Say a good thing. You say, but they don't deserve it. Neither do you. I can't find anything good to say. Yes, you can. Do it by faith. Say good. Speak well of others. We don't lie to get ahead. You say, well, I have to lie in my work. You don't understand. I have to tell lies to get ahead. No, we tell the truth. That doesn't mean you always have to say everything at time. Obviously, you know, you use wisdom. But no, we choose to not lie to get ahead. We choose to tell the truth. We don't hoard and live for money. It doesn't mean savings is good. It's good to save. But we don't hoard but we choose to give, be generous. And God blesses that, as Gilbert shares all the time about when he shares, because they live it. We don't have to have sex with our boyfriends or girlfriends because it's expected, because everyone else is, they all do it, and it's just expected of me. No. You can remain pure before God, and you can wait, and God will bless it and honor it. And if we fail, we ask forgiveness, obviously, if that's what's happened, you know, but God, you can remain pure, and God says you're pure now through me, through the blood of Yeshua, and as you turn to him. But we don't have to do, you don't have to try drugs, illicit drugs, and recreational drugs and cocaine because everyone else does it. My friends are all doing it. Or drink alcohol because my friends are. No, you're different. No. We copy the Creator, not the cosmos. We follow the covenant, not the culture. Rabbi Jonathan Sacks says, we've experienced, in his book on morality, he says, we've experienced a cultural equivalent of climate change in our country. And in the West, not just our country, in the West. And among these things, it includes markets without morals. No honesty, no integrity, no responsibility, no transparency, no accountability. Cancel culture, virtue signaling, victim status. Cancel culture, I had to look it up to understand it a little more. It's defined as a modern form of ostracism in which someone is thrust out of social or professional circles, often due to a viewpoint they expressed or something done which was not in agreement with the one held by the group or the class or the business. Whether it's online or in social media or in person. The individual is censored, ostracized, or canceled. Now, this is common on university campuses today. It's unbelievable. And this would also it can also relate to public shaming, where social media platforms such as Twitter can take one person's misstatement or and take what they said and destroy their reputation overnight. Virtue signaling is the action or practice of publicly expressing opinions or sentiments intended to demonstrate one's good character or the moral correctness of one's position on a particular issue. Quote, it's noticeable how often virtue signaling consists of saying you hate things. So if I don't fall in line by agreeing with you that we dislike someone's stance, I'm rejected. I thought of these verses in line with that. Many believed in his name, it says in John 2:23-25, seeing the signs he was doing. And so they believed because they saw his signs. But it says Yeshua did not entrust himself to them because he knew all men. He did not need anyone to testify about man, for he knew what was in man. Paul says, am I now trying to win people's approval or God's? Am I trying to please people? If I'm still trying to please people, I'm not the servant of Messiah, he said. Galatians 1:10. I don't have to please people. I please God. We have the battle over free speech today. And I agree with Professor Nadine Strozen. She said the harm and danger of censorship is greater than the harm and danger of free speech. Yes, there's speech like hate speech that is very dangerous, can do terrible harm. But to have censored a viewpoint that's not mine, that's not yours, who determines that? Do we trust those in governmental positions and power to do so? Of course not. I don't. I know you don't. This is the culture we live in. We have moral laws. Leviticus 19, Rabbi Jonathan Sacks again says, because this is, I think this is interesting, and because Judaism is the code of a self-governing society, in terms of what the Torah, all the laws of Torah, it is also about the social virtues, righteousness, justice, you know, tzedakah, mishpat, chesed, or loving kindness, and compassion, rachamim. These structure the template of biblical law, which covers all aspects of the life of society, its economy, its welfare systems, its education, family life, employer-employee relations, the protection of the environment, and so on. None of this is possible without a land. Judaism is the constitution of a self-governing nation, the architectonics of a society dedicated to the service of God in freedom and dignity. Without a land and a state, Judaism is a shadow of itself. Wow. That's why we need Israel again. But so many excellent guidelines, as we read in Leviticus 19 and 20, there's so many we could look at, giving us knowledge and wisdom. And as Suzanne mentioned earlier, perhaps the most important verse in Torah is 19:18 of Leviticus, where it says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Don't give the whole verse. You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. So how do I want to be treated? How do you want to be treated? Where was I treated when I was in the same position? Well, that's how we're to treat others. Think about it. Or, I mean, if that's how we wanted to be, if we weren't treated right, but you want to be treated. And there's the story, the famous story of a Gentile, a non-Jewish person who came to Rabbi Hillel and asked to be taught the entire Torah while standing on one foot. You've heard this? Hillel said, "Whatever is hateful and distasteful to you, do not do to your fellow man. This is the entire Torah. Now go and study, for the rest is commentary." It's very famous. Yeshua frames the same idea in the positive. He says, "In all things, do to others what you would want them to do to you, for this is the Torah and the prophets." Matthew 7:12. And listen to this. Rabbi Nightingale, someone I haven't read him for a while, but amazing. Listen to this. He says, "One must begin Torah study with the realization that the next person traveling through life has those same self-same experiences of love, pain, hurt, and joy from the ups and downs of life that you may feel so intensely about yourself. As simple as this may sound, it is a lifelong task to view another in the same light that I view myself." So much wisdom in that. So much wisdom. In Leviticus 20, it's also in 18, but there are sexual laws, male and female. I remember male and female. I remember Elizabeth Elliot years ago calling God's glorious distinctions. Of course, you know, Elizabeth Elliot, she lost her husband in missionary work to, I believe, cannibals, I think. Right, and then she went back to reach them and bring the gospel, the good news to them in that area. And of course, in today's culture, we have much more palatable, educated terms. Sexual orientations and gender identities refer to me as they and them, not him or her. Transgender athletes. Is that fair? Psychology Today says, "Remember when we thought that there were just two sexes, male and female, and everyone just assumed that anyone born male or female was, in fact, a male or a female? Now it's much more complicated." They mentioned 60 terms according to a glossary provided by the University of California, such as, I'm just going to mention a few, non-binary. That's where the they, them, their, gender-neutral pronouns are used. Gender expansive. You have gender fluid, a person whose gender identification and presentation shifts, goes back and forth. And bigender, having two genders, exhibiting cultural characteristics of masculine and feminine roles. And there's lots more. Do we still believe in monogamous marriage between a man and a woman? Yes, we do. Let marriage be held in honor among all, Hebrews 13:4. It's just one verse, of course, many. They became and they become one flesh, basar echad. Can these other orientations and identities perpetuate the continuation of the human race? Think about it. In other words, can they have babies? Think about it. God said, "Be fruitful and multiply." Can they? And if we accept these other orientations as legitimate, do we believe in sex without responsibility or commitment? No, we don't. Now, I believe we need to have compassion for those wrestling with gender issues, especially our young people. Much is the fault of the educational institutions, the activists, and social media platforms, which tell you that you may be something other than who God has made you. One book addressing this is called Irreversible Damage, The Transgender Craze Seducing Our Daughters by Abigail Schreier, who's Jewish. I believe we need to affirm who God has made you, male or female, and that you are beautiful and amazing as such. Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14. For you have created my inward parts. Some translate it conscience. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am awesomely, wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows that very well. If you or someone you know has already had the surgical procedure or the testosterone or whatever, all the things that are done or made that change, listen, if it's happened to you, we love you. We love you and want to help, not hurt. But it's tragic. This is our culture today. This is what we're all facing, and especially our young people. And we need to understand that. We need to be in touch with that very clearly, and give them another alternative. Give them a biblical worldview. Richard Wurmbrand. I'm closing with this. Richard Wurmbrand, Pastor Richard Wurmbrand, quotes so much. I love this. What he says. This is how to live. Don't require a smile of people. If you see someone without a smile, give him yours. Multitudes followed Yeshua. It was because he did not expect from them sympathy for his great sorrows. He comforted them in theirs. Don't get angry at the man who acts in a manner that displeases you. He might have heard a different drummer. Everyone walks to the music he hears. Let him hear from you a more beautiful melody. It might change his pace. At a party in my home, he says, believers were discussing their friends. Some they considered strong believers, others weak. Still others, unbelievers. An old missionary from India intervened. He said, don't classify people. Our judgments might be wrong. As often as we speak, let us better propagate the love of Messiah. This will gladden the strong believer, strengthen the weak one, and turn the unbeliever. So we will have done something positive. Spread sunshine among others instead of judging how much sunshine another has in his or her life. Oh, Lord, thank you, Lord. Help us be those that spread sunshine. Help us be those that are creators in your image of good. Lord, we have so much in us that's from you. Help us be those that create new expressions of love every day. Be imitators of God and walk in love. Lord, we thank you for the privilege we have, for where you've placed us, for where we are right now, that we are your lights in this world, and that we don't have to be pressured. And help us with those that are struggling and pressured to be like, to conform to the culture. Help us to, in your love, show them a different way. If you've never trusted Yeshua, what a good time this would be for you to turn your life over to him. As I said earlier, I can't imagine being without hope and not knowing where you're going to go if you die. If you go nowhere, well, you will go one place or another. And you can have eternal life. You can know that you're going to be with the Lord. Call it heaven, call it the world to come, call it whatever. But you can be with the Lord. Yeshua said to the other fellow next to him dying on a stake, he said, today you'll be with me in paradise, when he turned and asked forgiveness. Turn to the Lord and ask forgiveness now. And he loves you no matter what you've done in the past, no matter what happens. Oh gosh, we've all made horrible mistakes and done stupid things. He loves you. He's created you in his image. He loves you. He will use you, transform you, and give you an amazing future. Put your trust in Yeshua and let us know if you're doing that, you're praying that prayer, Lord, save me, rescue me, come into my life. Let us know so we can rejoice with you, celebrate with you, and grow with you. Help us, you grow together with us. Thank you. Amen.
Recha Adonai v'yishmor recha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'yichunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yisem lecha shalom. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach sar ha-shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his shalom. In the name of Jesus, Yeshua, our Messiah, the ruler of peace. Amen and amen. Shabbat shalom. See you at donuts and coffee.